Hello and welcome. This is Tarquin Cooper, and in November I had the chance to catch up with Kriegel Maurer and ask him all about his 12-year reign of dominance, why his younger self was better in the air, and what it takes to pack away a wing in 2 minutes. Enjoy.
Yeah, so let's go. Tell us about next year's race. Are you excited for another Red Bull X Alps?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward because the X Alps experience always was great, and it was an adventure. It was also super surprising, but in effect, it was always pushing me to the next step. I found many things, and I'm sure next year it will be special with the turn points close to the home place. But yeah, we will see the new route in March. Yeah.
Obviously, you know Frutigen very well. What advice would you give to other pilots or athletes flying there for the first time?
Yeah, in our area, there is not really special. It looks quite easy. There is a valley breeze up to 35 sometimes. It's possible to do soaring in the valley, but to reach the higher turn point, Niesen, will be quite tricky. So depends of the day time, it will be possible to fly up there, and for this it's good to see the place maybe before. Otherwise, it's a hike of 1,700 meters. That's a quite steep ascent.
And how long does it take you to hike up there?
Yeah, from Frutigen, I never pushed really full. I guess 2 hours.
Tell us what you've been up to since the last edition.
Yeah, finally, I had a perfect season 2022, and there was Xpier and Dolomiti Superfly, which was my highlights. And I think for me, it's really, I'm really proud to do successful. I won every hike and fly competition this year I did. And for me, the most important, I was never destroyed. So I was on the limit after the Xpier. On the first 2 days, we had to walk, and my legs was on the limit, but after I was recovering well, and I'm very happy to stay healthy all the season, to finish in a way which I can say it's sustainable, and I can do the X Alps next year as well.
What are you doing to stay at the top?
Yeah, it's two things I think is important. One, it's to find good goals, to have the motivation to focus on. And the other part is the training. So body training means hiking, running, recovering, and to find a good balance in this. And finally, I'm 40 years old, so the recovery is not that good as 10 years ago. So it's a new challenge. We know this from other athletes. And finally, yeah, it's part of the life to find a good balance in general.
What does your training program look like now?
Yeah, actually, it's November and it looks very easy. It's not too much. It's 2 to 3 times in a week I go to the gym for power training. I think the muscle is really important to cover the legs, to make the heart running afterwards. And endurance, I do not too much, maybe 5 hours, 8 hours in a week. So it's an easy training, but I think to start soon with the longer trainings again. I have 2 competitions in December, short ones, but really intense. This Rise and Fall, it's a very short team race in Zillertal, a sprint of maybe 3 minutes. And it's completely different, but for this, I think it's good to do some interval now and be ready. And after, the long trainings can come in January.
So what is the 3 minute race? Is it like a ski tour or is it a run?
It's a team race. So it's a ski tour is the first, then the paraglider runs, fly and run to the mountain biker. The mountain biker goes up again and the skier goes down again.
Okay.
It's a team race.
And just three minutes, you say that you have to run.
My part is around 1 minute, then a flight, and then a 2 minute run.
Okay.
it sounds crazy, especially when you look that I drive there 6 hours and 6 hours back for a run of 3 minutes. But in the end, there is always a good party and good mood in this rise and fall race. It's a good team race. It's a really high level race.
Yeah.
And therefore, I find good motivation.
Is there any part of your training that you really hate? I mean, just generally, is there an exercise or something that you don't like doing?
Yeah, for sure. It's the gym and stretching part. It's not what I really do. I know I have more potential in this, especially in recovering, going to the massage or to swim, for example. They say it's very good and healthy. But sometimes I feel really lost there because I feel that it's time I lost in the life. So it's nice to enjoy and everything, but I not feel something nice, and that's sometimes a part of stress. And sometimes I do and then enjoy it and I feel okay, it can help, but then I go out and push at the limit and I feel better.
Do you listen to music to spur you on, to motivate you?
No. When I start my training 10 years ago, sometimes I go with music, but I realized that it can be dangerous, especially on the road when I not hear the traffic, or in the mountains when you not hear the rocks fall. So therefore I stopped to hike with music. Also the flight, I tried a bit, but I really like to hear the sound of the wind, of the speed of the glider. I stop. I find motivation in different ways, so I don't need the music.
Where does your motivation come from?
And finally, from the next step. It's always focusing on the next step and looking for that. Sometimes it's hard to find or to see possible next steps because it's really hard, especially when it's tricky with danger conditions or really rainy on the road. But after 12 years of a competition like this, I can say that in every case you find the next step. So it's always going on, and then on the end it's beautiful.
Did you see the list of questions that I sent you? I found a picture of you from the first race.
Yeah.
Do you recognize this guy?
yeah, I know him. Funny.
If the 2009 Kriegel entered the 2021 Red Bull X Alps, how would he have done? Would he have won?
That's a good question. I think that fly-wise, yes, but the general logistic, the way to find good goals and to focus, I lose a lot. But if there is good flying conditions, I can. I mean, 2009, I was really good in flying. I think better than now because I was young and pushing hard on the limit. And I was really doing a lot of competitions. So fly-wise, I was really good this time too. It did help me to win the race immediately. But yeah, finally, while walking, I destroyed my body. I was really not trained and I was not smart in this way.
What's the biggest lesson that you've learned in the 12 years of competing in hike and fly?
Yeah, that's always small steps, but I think to do things really focused. I mean, when I was young, I was trying everything, and then I not felt really if it's good or not, and now I try to understand the situation better and then to do it really or not, and to accept my decisions.
How do you think the races has changed? What are the big changes that you have noticed?
Yeah, sure. It's changing from an adventure. It means to reach a goal, crossing all the Alps, to reach Monaco. It was an adventure, and now it's a race. It's a hike and fly race. It's a commercial event. It's a competition, which is a lot of money in, and it's sure that you will reach the goal. But the question is how fast. So you have to do maybe things more fast in general, but also go more on the limit because you have to be fast. So it's changing a lot now.
And what about in terms of the other competitors? Do you see that the level has gone higher?
Yeah, for sure. All the teams make a very good preparation. They train really hard. They really know what they do. All the teams working together, they have bigger teams. They have more structure in the team. It's not like, let's go for a holiday. It's a really, let's go for a hard adventure. And they bring all very good equipment. I mean, last edition, we could see that six from the good manufacturer made special or specific equipment for the hike and fly race. So the light, the weight and the performance was really similar. So there was not that big differences as the 10 years ago. So this was increasing a lot, and also the skills in the good in hard conditions was increasing. So every athlete is much better than 10 years ago.
What advice would you give your younger self?
Yeah, it's really a problem because I will tell him to be more careful, to not risk too much or so often. But I know that when he risks often, he have a better feeling for the race. It's helpful. So it's a really hard advice to give him the break, but to know that it not will help to push.
Do you think your younger self would be impressed with how you are today? What do you think your younger self would make of your success today?
Yeah, sure. I never think about the next years. I just try to make the moment perfect. And if you see that for 10 years you can stay successful in average, this is really impressive. And for sure, it's a goal to be always good and not just per luck once. And finally, this is what to be working on.
What do you think is the secret of your success? Is it talent or is it hard work?
I think it's a combination. I think maybe my talent is to be really focused on a work. So I really like to fly. I really like to push myself, and maybe it's a talent. And that's why I do a lot. I become good. So it's a combination of these two. But finally, I had always a good feeling for the nature, for the material with the glider, and good in ground handling. And finally, that makes me good, technically good. And then I really like the competition. So I like to measure with other and to push and to make tactic game in the air. And finally, to have a team which I can use or which can help me. So to be a team player, it's maybe the third piece of a nice concept which makes me really successful.
Which year was your favorite Ripple X House?
Yeah, looking back for the last seven editions, there is maybe 2013, there was so good weather. There was flyable weather, and I was, I don't know why, I was in a really good mood, and all the decisions was perfect. So everything I did was working, and I was really fast in Monaco, and it was unbelievable. I don't know exactly how it was, but it was working everything. So for this time, it was the best.
Do you have a favorite moment, maybe a particular flight from the race?
Yeah, in this race, the turn point was Interlaken, and we had to go to Matterhorn and then Mont Blanc. And I was never expecting to fly over the Alps in once. Also, this day, I was really unsure how I can do it because I know the area well, and I flew a lot there. And in the evening, I was close to Mont Blanc. It was one flight. It was unbelievable. And I felt that with this goal from the X Alps, with these turn points, you go for a new challenge and you try it. And as soon you try, you can do it. So sometimes you need a really crazy idea to feel that you can do more than expected.
So you flew almost all the way from Interlaken to Mont Blanc?
Yeah. In one flight, there was crossing Lake Thun was already a big challenge, and crossing to Wallis, to all these high mountains, and then flying into Zermatt for the turnpoint Matterhorn. There was a radius to pass. And then I crossed over to Italy. And from there, Aosta Valley, toward west, to Mont Blanc, there was in the evening. And it was a hard decision because maybe you remember, I was afterwards on the wrong side of Mont Blanc. So I had the challenge on the next day to fly around Mont Blanc to came into the sector. And everybody expecting a big mistake, but for me it was a good decision. I was always thinking about it will work, and finally it was really fast in combination with the weather we had, and it was working, and it was so nice.
Do you have a worst moment from the race history?
Yeah, sometimes not really a moment which was really worse, because I never made a really big mistake, but I remember the first edition, the first day, we was heading Berchtesgaden by hiking because of bad weather. And then it was clear up and I hiked up for a flight, for the first flight. And I lost my mobile phone. And in the air, I realized that it's no mobile phone with me. So there is no communication. There is no internet for the live tracking, and there is nothing I have. And, I felt really bad in this moment, because I thought, okay, a half year of preparation, and then the first day, and I lost my phone. Now I can stop. So it was like a shock. And after I saw the other athletes on the ground, and I lent them to them, and with them phone, I was able to call my support Thomas, and he was so happy because he found already my phone. It was a really good experience to go deep with all this shit, and then to have a good message from the supporter that he found the phone. It was in the forest, so it was almost impossible to find the phone. But a guy found it, and he called the last number I called, and with this we found Thomas found the phone, and the race continues.
What was the year that you beat the organization to Monaco? Was that your first year?
It was the first edition, because they were thinking it's not possible to fly all the way to the sea. And then they say, okay, the last 6 hours, for sure, you have to walk. And I flew from Col de Vaud. It's 100K. And they expected the flight and then a 6 hour walk, so they have time to build the goal and everything. And then I was landing on the beach. It was perfect in the sun. And for me, it was just a dream to arrive at the beach. For sure, I was not finished the race in this moment, but to reach the goal, the beach, that was for me the highlight. And yeah, after I walked slowly up, and they was really pushing. And in the end, it looks like everything is good.
Let's talk about psychology, risk, and Thomas a little bit. How does Thomas help you? What's how does the dynamic work there?
Yeah, it changed over the years, but in the beginning, he was really important to me to give me a structure, to make a master plan, for example, to make complicated things easy, or we're working on different processes, and then we went into the race and we made good analysis with him, and afterwards it felt more clear and more easy for the next one. So after 12 years working, it's not that work that you mean. I not need a psychologist or a strategist, but to have a sparring partner to talk, and finally a friend to go for training, to go mountaineering, to set new challenges and see that we can do it together. It's really important. And finally, to know well what he do, what he not like to do for a next edition. It's the way. And yeah, we meet almost every week to have a talk, to have a training or something else.
you like to keep your team small, and that seems quite unique. Why keep your team small? What is the benefit of a small team in the race?
Yeah, it's not less food to organize in the race. No, it's we always think about what it needs, and I think one supporter can help me 90%, and two, they can cover 99%. And then if you're more, it's not really easy to get to have more options or more possibilities. And it's also more nice to me to train together, to really understand each other well and to have a good adventure in the race. But yeah, sometimes I feel I kind of need more help, but it's just for moments in the race, and it's an adventure. It's not a really plannable race. So it's more easy to stay small and flexible.
What do you say to yourself when things are really rough and rowdy in the air? Do you talk to yourself? Do you give yourself, you know, motivational sayings? Or
in the past, sometimes I was a bit talking to me, but I think in general it's a question, and I say this loud about the plan B, because when I speak loud, it's more clear to me. And as long as I have a good plan B, I can follow plan A. But as soon as I feel there is not really an option to escape, then for sure it's time to go. And so it's not a lot of talking. It's more questions about the plan B.
So if you're getting like a multiple collapses, what's going on through your mind?
No, it's always the question about my reserve, about the ground. So if I'm really close, I really have to escape. And as long there is just collapses, it's not the problem. So I many times flew in conditions where frontal collapses came in seconds. And then it's really a paragliding sport. and it's always the question about, can I escape? Can I have enough safety? So yeah, for sure it's not funny anymore, but it's always the moment you fly in, it's too late to think about the mistake you're in, and you have to react as good as possible and think about to escape. And yeah, it's not the time to think about mistakes or having loud words.
But you said that you might talk to yourself out loud. What kind of things would you say?
Yeah, what can I do? What's the next step? And things like this, because I always looking for a next solution. As long I feel safe enough, I go for the efficiency. I go forward for the race to be fast. And as soon it feels too dangerous, I go for the safety, and then fly away. Fly back, go landing. This is the way I choose.
Day eight last year, when your big flight from the Rhone Valley to Italy, it seemed that you took a lot of risks with that flight. Thomas was quite stressed at the end of the day. In hindsight, when you look back, did it feel like you were taking a big risk with that flight?
Finally, I'm very interested about how it feels for me and how it feels from the outside. Because from outside, people told me on this day eight, I really made a special move to come in front, to have advantage. And I really made a good decision. How I made this decision. And in the end, for me, it's nothing special. It's the same strategy that we did 7 days before too. It means we was in a place, we was checking the forecast, and we looking for the options, and we choose the options, or I choose the option finally by self. And for 7 days, it was not really better than the other athletes. So we was really close together. And finally, in day seven in the evening, I choose to stay north while the French went to the south. And I hear that they got the information from the weather forecast that it's more safe and more efficient in the south of the Alps. While I thought maybe it's better to start the day in the north because the thermal starts earlier. And afterwards, I have more options. So I can stay in the north, flying over the passes, or I can fly over a pass to the south. So I can choose and I have more options. And finally, on the next day, on day 8, it was a nice Sunday. I was on the takeoff almost too late. I took off 8:45 and it was already working. And I really felt immediately that I was really right on the right time, on the right place. And they give me a good motivation to start the day. And then for sure it was windy. The way I chose was a really detour. I know that it's risky when the other can fly too on the straightway. And therefore I activate a night pass to, in case of landing too early, I can hike the night to catch the others. And this option with the night pass makes me really calm and relaxed. And so I was focused on the flight. And finally it was working. And I landed and we ate pizza in this Pinchgau Valley and everything was perfect.
So in hindsight to you, it didn't feel like you were taking a big risk with the conditions.
No, it felt exactly like every day. So every day we took risks in the way, how can it works or what I do if it not works. So it's always the question about efficiency and if it's, is it the right way or not? And we also speak about different risks. So there is one risk of efficiency. If it's not working, I'm on the ground and slow. And the other way it's about healthy and surviving. So if I take a flight with strong conditions, maybe it's too much risk. And then the problem is that I get an injury and have to stop the race. And this is not acceptable. So I always have to go with the feeling that it's safe. And then I push the efficiency. And as soon as I see that it's not safe anymore, I have to go for the safety. And we have this in the race 2017, when there was a strong wind come in and I had to escape in the flat. That was close to Turin. And afterwards, I was forced to walk for 75K on the flat. So it was a hard lesson, but on the end, it was the move to escape to be safe. And for me, it was the right decision in this moment. And finally, it's the way of adventure races.
Has your attitude to risk changed since having children?
Yeah. When I'm watching back, it was not a change. It was for me, it was more important to stay more at home. So I stopped the travel around the world for the competitions. That's why I start a new adventure like X-Alps, to stay more at home, make a preparation at home, and then once go to the race. And I really liked time at home with my boys. And when I do competition or training, I not really think about them because I will be focused on the moment. And I always say as soon as I start thinking about or that I father and I have to be careful to myself, for my sons, when this moment will come, I have to stop competitions because then I'm not really free and focused on the moment, and then it can be dangerous. Yeah.
And how old are they? What are their names?
Jonas and Nico, they are already 12 and 14 years old. So Jonas is 14 and start paragliding, flying myself this spring. So he's already experienced. It's with 55 flights and a lot of airtime. And 3 weeks ago, we made the first hiking flight together. It's a really great feeling.
I did hear that you, if you're not in the lead of a race, your sons will actually call you up and speak to you and say, "Daddy, why aren't you winning?" Is this true?
Yeah, it was in the Xpier this summer. I landed and Maxim was passing, and I was really stuck in a shitty place with bushes and rocks, and I had to climb for 500 meter, and I know that it's only 60k to the goal, to the beach. And I start hiking as fast as possible. And then Nico called and he told me, "Daddy, Max is 6K ahead of you." And I say, "Yes, yes, I know. And do you have something more important?" No, I just want to say this. It was so funny. And yeah, finally the life packing was not working well in the evening. But in this moment, he was on the life.
Another one more question about motivation. What do you say to yourself when you don't feel motivated, when you don't want to go to the gym or you don't want to do training? Is there something you say to make yourself go out there?
I think when I start paragliding, for me it was a hobby and it was just fun. And then I was able to work as a test pilot in advance, and it starts to be a job. And 2012, I made a step to self-employment. So competition and sponsoring, media work, all these things starts to be a job. And it really helped me to be focused. So when I'm not motivated, I say, okay, it's not the funny part. It's my job. So I have to do this. And it can be, in day, for training, or it can be also in competition, in hard moments, to say, at the moment it's not funny, I just do my job, and it works.
What's your fastest time to pack up? So from landing, pack up your glider, and hiking, how long does it take you to pack up?
Yeah, we made some tests and competitions in this too, so it's a little bit more than 2 minutes. It's always depend if I also have to change my cloth. So to run, I change to the sport class and back. But just to land and pack the glider in the backpack, it's around 2 minutes 10.
Yeah.
But I really realized that it's not the speed, how fast you make the moves to pack. It's more about reducing the steps to pack. I mean, when I do less steps in packing process, then you can do it very easy and clean. And then it's also good to carry after, and it's fast too. So first we try to reduce the steps, and then to increase the speed.
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I will change discipline and will set a new marathon world record, because running must feel really good if you're fast.
Who is the greatest athlete of all time?
A Swiss, for sure. It's the tennis player Roger Federer, because he made so many nice moves. And yeah, now he's finished. But I think in general, he's a great man.
Is he your hero?
No. About the hero, I was talking to Tom De Dorledo 2 weeks ago, and he explained me about his strategy in playing in Pakistan on the high mountains with the plan B, with the oxygen and everything. And he's my hero also because he had accidents in the X Alps. He had accidents in the training, and he every time came back. And he is really smart, move smart, and have good mindset. He also had accidents, but he had the motivation to come back, and that's why he's my hero.
What's the one thing that drives you?
Finally, it's the feeling of, if I do something, I can be happy when I'm tired, and I realize that I did it. So that's what's my push, is to find goals and then to feel that it's possible.
When people look back on your career in say 20 years time, what would you like them to say?
That's funny. people told me after the first win of the Red Bull X-Alps, now you can stop. And in 20 years, they will say, it's good that you're not stopped.
If you had one day left on planet Earth, what would you do?
I think I will do a base jump.
Fancy restaurant or a home-cooked meal?
For sure, home-cooked meal.
And what's your favorite meal?
I like pasta in every editions. It doesn't matter.
What would be a perfect flight for you?
A perfect flight? I was thinking a lot, but every flight where I land safe, it's a perfect flight for me.
If your house is on fire, everyone is safe, you have your phone, what will you go into to rescue?
I will not rescue anything because I hope to get a new X-Alps equipment next year anyway.
Do you have a favorite snack food?
This is chips for sure.
What's your biggest fear?
Yeah, actually, it's all about this crazy world and to not get in control with this. Last edition, we had the coronavirus, which was not controllable. This time, it's the war in Russia and Ukraine. And yeah, to have things on Earth, which is not controllable.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
My doctor, he told me after a check, now you can do sport for 5 years and then maybe you will be ready to train. So he told me clearly that I not have to train too much and to destroy my body. And this was really important.
Do you have any favorite music that you listen to motivate yourself?
Everything make a bit boom, boom, boom. It's good.
Is there anything you watch on TV or Netflix or?
No, not too much. I have not time for this.
Do you do any other sports or interests, gaming? I don't know.
No, if you have family, you have not have time for this. They do gaming, but I really looking as a motivation to go out. And we do a lot of things outside, climbing, mountaineering, biking, skiing. And so it's not time for something else.
And final question, is there anything about yourself that other people would be surprised about?
Actually, it's nothing. It's everything well. We have clear goals, new X-Alps in front, and so I not hope for surprise.
And last question: what do you eat for breakfast?
It depends. In day life, I eat bread and honey. I really like, and in the competition. For sure, it's the porridge to give the extra power, but it also keeps me fast energy. And in some cases, I also eat a good cake in the morning.
That could be your guilty pleasure. That's cake in the morning.
Cool.
Brilliant, Kriegel. It's been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much. And good luck with your training and everything, and looking forward to seeing you soon.
Cool. Tarkin, thank you very much.
Enjoy your day.
And see you soon. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.
That brings to an end our conversation with Kriegel. Thanks for listening.